listening area. That's right, wind south at 9, 74 Kenosha, 73 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And on today's morning show, we are talking about one facet of one of the happiest, most joyous events in southeastern Wisconsin during the summer months, the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival, coming up on Saturday, August 17th in Celebration Place. And of course, I don't think it's incorrect to say that the top headline is all of the amazing music, all of the amazing musicians who are really at the heart and soul of this event. But especially this year, I think the second headline is just about as exciting. And that's what's going to be going on in the so-called cooking studio. And that's a really important facet of this event. It has been almost from the very, very start. And so I'm so happy that on today's morning show, we can talk with Terry Jacobson, who of course by day is Kenosha County Treasurer, but also finding time to be captain of the cooking studio. And with her, two amazing chefs, both out of the restaurant family of the Bartolottas. And of course, that is an incredible name, an incredible legacy here in southeastern Wisconsin. And I'm so honored that we can have joining us Aaron Bickham, who is corporate executive chef for the Bartolotta restaurants, for the really the entire organization. And with us as well, Connor McNeil, who is executive chef at Joey Gerard's, which is a Bartolotta supper club in Greendale. And he is going to be sort of the very special guest chef for the cooking studio for this year's festival. So couldn't be more excited to have both of these talented, skilled chefs joining us as well. So Terry Jacobson, Aaron Bickham, Connor McNeil, we welcome all of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have all of you here. Terry, I think it's maybe great to set some historical context here in terms of the cooking studio, its place in this festival. And I know as a very, very close friend to the Mahone family, you're in a very good position to kind of explain why delicious food is part of this particular celebration.
Yes. And my co-captain Artis can't be here this morning, but Artis and I talk all the time about how our families have this tradition of showing people we love them through food. And the Mahone Fund has been such a friend of the Kenosha community, and they've shown their love to the Kenosha community for years. And their parents, Arthur and Mary Lou, fed half the neighborhood all the time, and they were always showing their love through food. And that's really how the cooking studio got started. Plus, a component of the Mahone Fund is always trying to promote healthy living within our community and teaching people how to cook at home and provide for their families. So it's always been an important part. And Tim Mahone has actually joined us here today. So I'm sure he'll pipe in if he has anything to add on this part of the day. But we like to kick this off with a little nosh. So we kick things off with a little food in our cooking studio. And Bartolotta's has been a longtime partner with us. And this year, we're celebrating a 10th anniversary of them partnering with the Mahone Fund. And that goes back years and years. And Tim's friendship with Joe Bartolotta and Joe's desire to help serve the community. And that has continued on with the Bartolottas have a charitable arm that's called Carolotta, that they do a lot of their charitable work. And we've done several things besides them supporting the cooking studio. We did a great class with the Gateway Technical students that Aaron participated in a couple of years ago, where we got to do a demo at that beautiful cooking studio that they have on the lakefront campus in Racine. And he got to work with some of the culinary students over there and produce some great food and raise some money for the Mahone Fund. Aaron, do you remember that?
I did. That was a fun event. Something we should bring back as an annual tradition. But to partner with Mahone and to do something like that with culinary students and seeing all these young individuals starting their career, it inspires us. And we try to get back to that and give back as much as we can. We were all in those shoes at one point, and there was a lot of individuals to help us create our careers. And it's my job, it's to do that as much as, you know, to oversee all the restaurants is very important, but to give back and train and mentor is, you know, high on my list. A lot of people helped me, and I am going to do the same. And I just have to thank the Mahone Foundation and Tim and Terry, and what you guys do every day is amazing. And I appreciate it. And I am happy to be involved on anything you guys do.
Fantastic. Tim Mahone, it is good to see your smiling face and glad you can join us at least for a few minutes. I started the interview by asking Terry, and she did an excellent job of explaining why food is kind of the co-headline event for what otherwise is a spectacular music festival. And she was kind of telling about the legacy of your parents and the delicious meals that were a part of the Mahone family growing up. Maybe you could say a word about how you came to meet Joe Bartolotta, of course, one of the two brothers who co-founded the Bartolotta restaurant group.
Well, good morning, Greg, and thank you to everyone that's here, particularly our good friends from Bartolotta. I can't thank, first of all, Terry enough for being a part of such a great tradition that the family extends to the community through food and how we get to everyone's heart and mind through good quality meals. And certainly Aaron and the Bartolotta team, we've been part of the Mahone family since 2014. So Aaron, under your leadership, thank you for extending the love of Bartolotta to the Mahone tradition, the Mahone mission, so that we can continue to uplift youth as they pursue their career opportunities, particularly in the culinary space. You know, I met Joe at Bacchus. At the time I was living in Milwaukee, and I was having a great dinner. And if you know anything about Joe, he was a very friendly, strong personality, made his come around to the tables and greet and meet everyone. And I actually just asked him, I said, hey, you know, we're doing these great things down in Kenosha around kids and careers and aspirations. And I noticed that Bartolotta was extended themselves in the race in the Milwaukee market around student aspirations and exposing students to careers. And he just thought it was a great opportunity for Bartolotta to match up with us. And so we partnered at an event around African-American health and wellness at Bacchus, and we co-partnered that event around African-American men. And I was really inspired by Joe's authenticity around community and the family love. And it just reminded me of my parents and how they used food to uplift people. So ever since 2014, we've been on this road with Aaron's leadership and leadership of Bartolotta to educate folks on the importance of health and wellness, good quality food and the ingredients that go into it, while at the same time educating young folks on the career path. So we're excited on this 10th anniversary. And as Aaron said, I look forward to extending our culinary dinners at Gateway with the students again.
Excellent. For those of you just joining us, we are previewing the culinary aspect of the upcoming Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival coming up on Saturday, August 17th in beautiful Kenosha Celebration Place. So Terry Jacobson, you are captain of the cooking studio. Explain to listeners, especially those who've maybe never had the chance to take in this wonderful event, what happens with the cooking studio typically, and then specifically what's going to happen this time around with special guest chef Connor McNeil.
So we've done a variety of things, as you've seen, Greg, over the years. First off, we've created this amazing set to do our cooking studio off that Bear Homes did for us. It looks like a set in your kitchen or something off of a cooking show. We have a little demo mirror so the audience can see what's going on. And over the years, we've highlighted different chefs like we are this year with Connor, or we did, if you might recall, years ago now, we had Dan from Pig in a Fur Coat in Madison, a James Beard nominated chef, came in and taught us how to not only make a pig, but butcher an entire pig one time. That was exciting for all of us. Oh. But we've done a variety of things. The last few years, we've been doing some competitions between firefighters and police officers and fun things like that in our communities. And this year it was nice to kind of get back to our roots and celebrate this relationship that we've had with Bartolotta. So if people can get there at noon when the gates open, they come through the door, get kind of their spot on the lawn that they want to sit and listen to music, and then come on over to the cooking studio tent that's near the front gates. And they come in, sit down underneath the tent, enjoy some shade as we're hoping for a sunny day on our beautiful lakefront. And then they can watch Connor teach us how to make a dish, hear some of his answers about what it's like to be a chef, how he got into cooking, what kind of things you can do to tweak a recipe or make it better, and just some basic things about cooking, and get some great samples from Bartolotta's chef, and enjoy that while having a nice glass of wine or a cold beer.
Sounds perfect. Sounds perfect for a Saturday afternoon along the lakefront. So Connor McNeil, were you given a very open-ended invitation to sort of do whatever you want? And what at least hints can you give us about what you are planning to do in the cooking studio on Saturday the 17th?
Well, yeah. So about a month ago, Terry had gotten in contact with the Bartolotta group and our PR team about doing an event in Kenosha. And I was looped in right away because, you know, I live in the community. So as soon as I was asked to do the event, I was beyond happy to accept the invitation. And for the event, we had creative freedom on doing a dish that we thought would, you know, be good for the community, something that, you know, is on our menu that we could, you know, show the community, hey, this is what we're about at Joey Girard's. So we are going to be doing a Wisconsin style fish fry. At Joey Girard's, we do a very specific batter. So if you want to see how the batter is made and what all it entails, you'll have to be at the cooking studio, obviously. But we're going to be doing a Wisconsin style fish fry with a Caribbean theme with it. So we're going to do a little pineapple slaw to go along with it. We're going to show exactly how Joey Girard's does our fish fry batter, because it is a little bit different than a normal batter. And we're going to be pairing that with a Caribbean tartar sauce.
That is enticing. Just hearing the words, let alone seeing it, let alone tasting it. We can almost taste it as you describe it. Fantastic.
You're going to be super excited to taste it this time, because Chef McNeil has done some great things with what is a Wisconsin tradition. He's really elevated it and kicked it up a couple notches.
Fantastic. So we look forward to that. And Terry, just to clarify, this is kind of right off the bat, the sort of the very first thing that happens at the festival, correct?
Yep. Gates open at noon and we kick off at 12:45. So get there early, and then I am excited, I will say. I'm going to do a little music plug here, only because right after the cooking studio, we have Ben Woods. And so for those of you in the Kenosha community who have been involved with Mahone Fund, Ben is one of our own. He is actually one of our scholarship recipients, and he got a BFA from down in Dallas at the Southern Methodist University. And he is kicking us off with this incredible sound, and the kid is amazing. Like, I could not be more proud of him if he were my own child. He's so amazing. And to have him follow us in the cooking studio just shows what we're all about here at the Mahone Fund.
Yeah, joy upon joy at this event coming up. Wonderful. Well, I am anxious to learn more about both of the distinguished chefs who are joining us today, not only Connor McNeil, but also Aaron Bickham. And Aaron Bickham, I know you have been part of the Bartolotta family, I think since 2001, or at least off and on since all the way back to 2001. But let's take it back even further than that. Tell us about your initial interest in fine food and cooking and perhaps becoming a chef. Can you trace this to anything in particular that sparked your interest?
Absolutely. So I have an older brother who's also a chef. And when he's a bit older than me, 6 years older. So I was in high school, not doing much between baseball and basketball season. And I was laying around in somewhere in upstate New York on a couch. And I got the call. Actually, it went to my mother. And my mother goes, your brother's on the line and he's got a job for you. And you need to get up off your butt and show up in 40 minutes. And I was a bit confused. So I ended up showing up in a local restaurant and washing dishes. And I remember initially I was quite upset with him that he would put me through that. But from that moment, I started to work hard. I got involved with food. I started learning about food in different cultures. And that really, you know, was the true inspiration when you learn the history of food and where it came from and why, and some of, you know, ethnic backgrounds and ethnic foods. And that's when I started venturing all around New York City to try different ethnic foods and got more adventurous. So my brother kind of got me in and, you know, was somewhere in college. I was actually going to school for resort management, hotel and resort management, that I got into a professional kitchen. And at that point, from like my sports background, to be in such a disciplined environment where everyone was working as a team, so focused to put out the food together and show hospitality and, you know, give these special moments to families and individuals. And when you walk away and you realize how many weddings you took part of or anniversaries or graduations that you had a hand in by, you know, producing the food or helping produce the food. It didn't matter if you're washing the dish or, you know, ordering the food or leading the team. That's where it really like stuck in me and I found my place. And that was early on at Lake Park Bistro. I moved to Milwaukee. I was 21 years old. I had like 3 to 4 years cooking at bar and grills in you know, Western New York. But I got in a professional kitchen and working under, you know, Chef Paul at the time, he was around, and Mark Weber and Adam Siegel. It really inspired me. And from that moment on, I just dove into it more, went to culinary school, spent more time in New York, you know, moved to Chicago for several years and worked my way through the brigade of the Bartolottas. And about 10 years ago, I met Joe at the food show in Chicago, and he, you know, talked me into coming back to Milwaukee. And it was a simple decision because my current wife lives here. But they kind of take a corporate executive sous chef role. And since that moment, I've kind of progressed into the role I'm in today. And to watch Milwaukee grow as a food destination and to be part of such a great organization, we're on our 31st year. And, you know, to take part of stuff like the Mahone Foundation, it's just been a blessing to me you know, to take a dishwasher job, you know, nearly 35 years ago to this now is it's been a fun run. And I'm every year I'm learning and growing as a human. And it's all because of food and restaurants and these great people you work with and these awesome communities you get to take part of.
So you now understand what real teamwork is in a couple of different arenas. And plus, you've climbed from dishwasher to corporate executive chef. So that is an impressive trajectory of climbing the ladder of excellence. Aaron Bickham, who is with Bartolotta's, as is also Connor McNeil, who again will be the special expert chef for the festival coming up on Saturday the 17th. He is executive chef for Joey Girard's Bartolotta Supper Club in Greendale. Connor, tell us about your own genesis as someone interested in great food, not just in eating it, but of course in preparing it as a wonderful chef. Where does the story begin for you?
Well, I was basically born and raised in restaurants. My parents met in the restaurant business. So when I was a young child, I remember going to work with my dad at the age of, you know, 5 or 6. You know, it'd be, hey, you know, yeah, we're going to go to the park later today. We got to go do a bunch of fun stuff today. But before that, I got to stop at work. I got to, you know, write the schedule. I got to go do an interview, you know. So I would go to work with him all the time. So when I was a young kid, I was always in kitchens. I got to see people, you know, being in the white chef coat and, you know, carrying around hot pans and, you know, the terminology behind corner. So from a very early age, I was, you know, interested in being in a kitchen. So when I was in high school, you know, very similar to Chef Aaron, tale as old as time, got a dishwashing job and just worked my way up through a couple of different kitchens in the Lake County area of Illinois, where I'm from. Went to culinary school, worked in Chicago for many years at a bunch of different restaurants, worked my way up from, you know, line cook to lead line cook to sous chef to executive sous chef, to where I have eventually, this past year, taken an executive chef position with the Bartolotta Group. So I've always loved cooking. I've always been in kitchens. I've always been in the environment, and I'm not stopping anytime soon.
Can you just briefly describe the restaurant, the kind of restaurant that, and I assume your parents owned the restaurant in which you in a sense grew up? What kind of a place was it, and what about it was so enticing for you?
They actually met working at Six Flags Great America. So they worked at a couple of different restaurants there during the summer. And, you know, after I was around throughout the years, my mom had left and taken a different job, and my father had stayed there. And I had gone to work there with him, you know, doing some stuff. And then he worked at a couple other different restaurants, both here and down in Tennessee, where he currently lives. So, I mean, I've always been in kitchens with my dad, a couple different, you know, steakhouses, one Italian restaurant down there. So, yeah, again, it's what I've always done. It's where I've always been.
So I'm curious to hear both from you, Connor, and from Aaron Bickham as well, what it's like to work in the sorts of restaurants you are working in now. That is, these amazing, elegant Bartolotta restaurants versus other restaurants that might also be very, very good, but in a sense, a different kind of restaurant going for a different sort of quality. I mean, in what way does this feel very different to be working in establishments like the ones for which you're responsible now?
Well, I think it starts with the family atmosphere. You know, I've worked for several different restaurateurs and different corporate restaurant groups. The one thing the Bartolotta kitchens always have, you know, it starts with our family meal. We do a family meal every day for everyone in the whole restaurant at about 4 o'clock. And if we have lunch operations, we also do one at about 11 a.m. But everyone gets together and sits together, and we talk about service. We talk about the VIPs coming in. We celebrate people's anniversaries. We bring cakes in for people's birthdays. And we all sit together and play as one team. In many restaurants I've worked in, there's a divide between the front of the house, back of the house. That's the front of the house is the ones who touch and talk to the guests. The back of the house are the ones in the kitchen. There's never any of that in the Bartolotta restaurants. You never see that. It's always a family atmosphere. That's number one. Number two was the amount we focused on the quality of food and putting our hearts and souls into the dish and have an authentic love for the food, the dish you're putting out, and actually care what the guests get. Anyone can produce the food, anyone can put it out, but if there's not a love and intention to it, it's missing something. It's missing a little bit of seasoning. It's missing, you know, a little bit of freshness. And we really work with all of our vendors to get the best product and what comes in the back door. And, you know, Connor will attest to this. When I come in, the first thing I do is I go to the cooler and look at our quality of food. And I talk to, you know, who's handling it, if it's the receivers. And I talk to Chef Connor. I look at the seafood. I look at the quality. I make sure we're icing it. And it kind of starts there. And it starts with the, you know, those frontline employees that are handling it, the receivers, the dishwashers, and the team keeping the coolers clean. It starts there, and it kind of just, you know, like of your refrigerator at home, if you don't maintain it and you're not getting good stuff and it's old, you're not going to have a good dinner. And we really focus on that, and we focus on training and mentoring. That's, you know, what it's all about. And those are the kind of things I think that leads to that kind of family environment, and the fact that we work for a big family, and we know all the, you know, the Joe came in, he really made you feel like you're part of his family, and he cared. He would listen to you. He knew everyone's name. And I kind of go with that same kind of attitude. I have 300 back of the house employees, and I know all their names, you know, and I make sure I go and meet them all. I celebrate all of them with their achievements in our kitchens, with training, moving up and becoming a sous chef, or, you know, from dishwasher to cook.
Very good.
And, you know, it's something that it's a family, and that's why we've had success, and why it means so much to us to do things like this with the Mahone Foundation or anything that we do. We really go with, you're part of our family, you're part of our community. And when you have that attitude, it really reflects in the food and the quality of establishment.
Connor, do you have anything you want to add?
I mean, I can't agree more with Chef Aaron. I mean, I've worked in many kitchens in Chicago, just as he has. And, you know, kitchens have the reputation, especially now, you know, people watching different kitchen shows or cooking shows on TV. The environment seems very fast paced. It seems very cutthroat. It seems very, you know, I need to succeed. I need to do this. I need to do that. And there are kitchens like that. But the Bartolotta Group, like Aaron said, it's family first. You know, we family meal together every single day before a shift. We talk about what's going on for the week, any events we have coming up, any, you know, special things we have. You know, today for my family meal at Joey Gerard's, we're going to be talking about our employee party that we're doing this coming Sunday. You know, that's going to be our focus. You know, we want to elevate our staff as best we can, because if you invest in people, they're going to invest back in you.
Well put. Aaron Bickham, I have read someplace that one of your core philosophies as a chef is to draw inspiration from a single ingredient. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, and maybe a little bit about how that looks or how that works? I mean, what would be maybe an example of something really wonderful springing out of the inspiration of a single ingredient?
Well, I think sometimes with food, there becomes too many ingredients. And when I say single ingredient, you know, let's look at some of these farmers in, you know, Southeast Wisconsin. And right now, tomatoes just became amazing. It's been a very hot summer. Nightshade vegetables have had an opportunity to kind of peak. So squash, eggplant, and tomatoes are kind of peaking right now. With the early rain and with the heat that we've gotten, the tomatoes are just full of flavor. And when you look at something like that, like, let's celebrate this tomato, let's put it on the plate, and how do we just enhance the tomato without, you know, throwing it on a salad with 16 other ingredients, when it's something that a farmer has spent so much time, all these, you know, weeks to water it and maintain it and fertilize it, and now it's coming to its peak form. Another example I would give is we have a new peach dessert at our new restaurant, the Commodore, and we are getting just the amazing peaches that we're getting from a single source farm in Michigan, and they just kind of peaked. You know, initial peaches that we're getting were from Georgia. They were delicious and, you know, completely ripe when we got them. are we getting from Tree Ripe here? They farm up and bring up a lot of product from different parts of the nation to give you a Tree Ripe product. But so we got this peach in, and I talked to the pastry chef. She's like, I want to make a peach sorbet, and then I want to just enhance the peaches by cooking in a little bit of bourbon and a little bit of glaze. And we made it so simple. It's really like 5 or 6 ingredients that it's that we've gotten the most compliments off that dish. And what we did is we just focused on that one ingredient that is perfect the way it is. So when you can enhance it with a few things and just focus on that, I find that you have more success in a dish than throwing a lot of different ingredients and technique at it, and almost too much energy goes into the dish. That takes a long time to kind of get to that mindset where you have more confidence in just showcasing one ingredient instead of, a young chef would, throw 15 different flavors at it, and you kind of get lost in that dish. And sometimes you need to go with a more simple approach. So it's something that we talk about in our chef meetings or when we're dissecting a dish. Sometimes our goal is like, let's remove an ingredient and showcase another ingredient so it really stands out, so that dish has an identity and it kind of speaks to you. And we do that a lot. And it's kind of a difficult way to look at food sometimes, where you're like, well, let's just showcase how great this product is. But, it's a necessary thing to enhance our dishes and to kind of get what we're trying to achieve. And sometimes we forget of all the hands that touch the food and how it gets there, from every farmer, from every delivery guy, and every company you work with, that food goes through, 15 different, individuals sometimes. And I think when we forget that and we over, produce the food and over too much energy, we're not showing them respect either. So to me, it's that to honor something that someone spent a lot of time working to achieve. It just simplifies it to get the best quality that you can give.
That is such an Italian way to go about it too, Aaron. When you think of the best Italian chefs, it's always highlighting an ingredient and all that went into it and kind of paying tribute to it. So I feel like it's such a precise thing for a Bartolotta's restaurant to do, because it is inherently an Italian concept in many ways.
Thank you for that. And it kind of stemmed from Paul. I didn't think that way for many years, but he was bringing this awesome seafood in from Liguria. And we were, put way too many things on the dish, and he got upset with us and he almost got emotional. And, for him, it was about the fishermen that was, and the quality of fish and the, how they brought it in. And it was a line caught product, which is, hard to think of. Everything is, kind of factory farmed or something. And there's fishermen catching stuff by line and then, sending it to him. And he knew the fishermen, he knew the sourcing of it. And then to him, we were insulting the dish and the fishermen by putting so much on it, and the fish was getting lost. And I kind of remember that moment and kind of remember the speech that he gave. And, it's something that kind of stuck with me. Sometimes we overdo it and we forget what we're trying to achieve. And sometimes just celebrating the beautiful product. You don't have to do much to a great tomato.
Sure. For those of you just joining us, we have with us not only Tim Mahone and Terry Jacobson, but also two chefs with the Bartolotta restaurants, Aaron Bickham, whom you've been hearing from, corporate executive chef, and Connor McNeil, who is executive chef at Joey Gerard's, which is a Bartolotta supper club in Greendale. And he will be the special expert guest chef for this year's Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival. Connor, your many duties as executive chef include overseeing menu development, which I suspect is kind of the sexiest part of the job, all the way down to kitchen operations, which I suspect is not quite as sexy, at least to the rest of us, from the outside looking in. That just seems like having enough spoons or whatever. But I have a feeling when it comes to kitchen operations in a restaurant like the one you head, kitchen operations is actually an incredibly important part of what you do and maybe has its own kind of excitement. Tell us a little bit about that facet of your responsibilities.
So kitchen operations, I mean, you know, like we kind of talked about earlier with, you know, people nowadays having one insight into the restaurant business is they see what it's like on TV, or maybe they hear about it from a couple of their friends. You know, it's fast-paced environment. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different noises. There's timers going off, people saying behind, oven open. There's a lot going on. But behind the scenes of all of that, there's things that had to happen in order for that service to take place. The schedule had to be written. The food had to be ordered. The food had to be received properly, cooled properly, stored properly. The cooks needed to be trained. The dishwashers needed to be trained. The soap for the dishwasher needed to be ordered. So there's so many different facets and different aspects of how a restaurant gets to, you know, the 5 o'clock opening time that a lot of people don't get to see. And as, you know, a chef, you need to be able to balance both of those. Yes, on one hand, there's the creative aspect and menu development. And hey, you know, we're going to bring in this new fish, or we're going to bring in this new cut of beef that we can source. Let's try it. Let's taste it. Let's see what it's going to look like on the menu or on a specials card. And then on the other hand, it's, okay, can we afford this beef? What's the pricing point on it? What's the price going to be on the menu? Who's going to cook it? You know, what are we going to put the button in on the, you know, sales system for the server to ring it up as, you know, what modifications are going to be on there. There's so much thinking to going into one dish that, you know, one or two cooks has a hand in making that a lot of people don't get to see. But again, any talented chef, you can do both. You can be creative and you can run your restaurant effectively.
Connor, when it comes to the menu at Joey Gerard's, I want to give you a chance to describe in whatever succulent detail you like, one of your current specials, which is what appears to be an absolutely spectacular pork chop. Could you just describe the pork chop that one can get at Joey Gerard's and the sort of care that goes into making it the best possible pork chop you can present to your customers?
Yes, so we actually have a 14-ounce Duroc pork chop. It's going to be a bone-in pork chop. It's going to be about an inch to an inch and a half thick. And it is cooked in our Jasper oven. So our Jasper oven is something special that we have at Joey Gerard's. It is a charcoal-fueled oven. So most ovens that you see like at home are either electric-powered or gas-powered. And that's how most ovens are in, you know, any normal restaurant as well. But ours, we have one specific one that uses charcoal. So it's very much like using a charcoal grill. We get huge lump charcoal that we source, and that's what heats our oven. So throughout service, we're adding charcoal, we're moving the charcoal. It keeps the grill nice and hot at a 700 degrees. And so we sear the pork chop in there, we cook it, and then when it's finished, we top it off with a Door County cherry wine sauce. So we source Door County cherries. We cook them down with sugar and just a couple other ingredients, a little bit of red wine, and we turn it into a nice cherry glaze that goes on top of the pork chop.
Is that all?
Yeah, it's relatively simple dish, but the sweetness of the cherry and the saltiness of the pork, it goes great together.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds very Wisconsin-like with that Door County and a little bit of good pork. I'm all in.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely amazing. And of course, it's just one of many things on the menu there. How much does the menu change at a place like Joey Gerard's?
So we do seasonal menu changes. Typically, we try to do menu change every 3 to 4 months, depending on the season, because, you know, like Chef Aaron had spoken about earlier, so many different products are available at different times throughout the year. So right now we're coming to the tail end of, you know, the summer growing season. in fall. We'll do a menu change, you know, trying to do more fall oriented dishes with, you know, a lot of different squashes, some gourds and stuff like that. And then in terms of our specials menu, we've been rotating our specials menu every 2 to 3 weeks, just depending on availability and just depending on, you know, hey, we got a, you know, we have an idea for a pork chop. Okay, well, let's try it. Let's go source it. Let's go taste it. Let's go, you know, experiment with it. And then a couple of weeks later, it'll be, hey, you know, we can get these awesome oysters in, you know, let's do something with oysters, you know? So we're constantly trying dishes, seeing what'll fit with the theme of the restaurant, seeing what will fit with the overall flow of the menu as it is. So right. we constantly rotate stuff.
Right. So Duroc pork chop or oyster Rockefeller or whatever suits your fancy. Always spectacular things to be found. Now, Aaron Bickham, give us some idea of throughout the Bartolotta family of restaurants and catering facilities. I mean, I think it's between a dozen and 17 in all. What is the through line? And I mean, is there somebody in the corporate center of it all who is making a lot of very specific decisions, or is it more about putting excellent people in place who share your general philosophy and then allowing each of these restaurants to, in a sense, have their own flavor, personality, profile?
Well, first and foremost, I want to say Joe, his mind and his picking locations and developing the concepts and just creating great environments was amazing. So some of our locations like Harbor House right on the lakefront in Milwaukee or Lake Park Bistro, you know, looking at that and thinking that's a great French bistro location on the bluffs of Lake Michigan, or going to, you know, a beautiful little town like Greendale and seeing it and saying we need a Wisconsin supper club up here. This is what the community needs. He had a great eye for that. And as far as hiring great people, that's where I start. The concepts speak for themselves, and you want to stay in that concept food-wise. You know, Connor has a strong background with some Asian food, and I see him kind of like pepper it in once in a while, but we're not going to do some of the sushi that he's learned there in his past. We're going to stick to the concept that of Joey Girard's, because if it fits the theme, the decor fits that, the drink menu fits that, the wine menu fits everything about Wisconsin supper clubs. We may put our own spin on it, but it starts with hiring good people. If I sat there and wrote every menu and completely controlled it with Chef Paul, the team wouldn't be as inspired. I do want them to take ownership and have a little bit of attachment to the dishes, because they're going to treat it as their own. So when we build specials and menus, it's a community kind of thing. We all speak and talk together. We bring in the servers and we bring in the general manager, because they're the ones speaking to the guests. They hear what the guests may want. And then from there, Connor will take the ideas. I'm using Joey's as an example because he's on the line and we were talking Joey's, but Connor would take those ideas and then develop what he thinks would work well. And I just oversee it. But from a standpoint of the core menu, a lot of those have been decided for many years. And, you know, if it's a steakhouse, we know we're going to need, you know, a filet, a New York, a ribeye, you know, a great Caesar salad, a New York style cheesecake. Those always stay on the menu, and those are concept driven items. From there, it's really the team that and listening to the customers that develop the menus. That's a process, you know, and you do want to listen to your guests because they're the ones paying the bills and you want to deliver what they want. And then you want to stay in concept because that's important. You know, each one of our restaurants have a feel, and we want to make sure it's right.
Aaron, I have one other question for you. I wish we had more than just a couple minutes to talk about this, but I know that one of your responsibilities was to oversee the process of reopening Bartolotta restaurants after the COVID pandemic, which of course was such a difficult time for your entire industry. I mean, whether you're an elite restaurant way at the top or just a ma and pa diner, that was such a difficult time. And we don't need to even talk about that, but the reopening part, the re-entering, the inching back towards normal operation. Could you just say a word about the great care with which you and your colleagues undertook that particular challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is it's funny. I was talking about the other day with a newer chef, and he asked me how it was and, you know, what it was like. And, you know, how I explained it and my attitude about it, and I know it was some long, grueling days. And you know, it seemed it was harder to reopen them than actually opening the restaurants the first time. But what I remember most is everyone thinking, let's get back to normal. Let's get everyone back to work. Let's make sure everyone has a livelihood. Let's make sure we bring our families back. If it's Bartolotta family, or if it's your home life, having that regular, you know, going to work, feeling good about yourself, being able to achieve something, being proud of that and going and taking that to your house. And we wanted to bring that back. And I remember looking at, you know, a bunch of the cooks, and they're like, why are you doing this to yourself? You can just make a check and sit at home. And I said, I want you guys to be all back at work. I want everyone to have their lives back. And I want, you know, Bartolotta's to be back to what it was and what it's doing in the community. This is what we have to do, and we have to do it for each other. And it was kind of like a rah-rah speech at the time after a very long day. You know, we were worrying about how many people can come in the building and what are the rules and how are they 6 feet apart? Is everyone wearing a mask? Has table been sanitized? And we were all so lost in what wasn't important. I mean, that is important, but it wasn't as what was important prior to that, that, there was something that inspired us to say, let's bring back what we had and let's do this for each other. And that was really important to me. I wanted to, there was longtime employees that have been sitting on their butt that wanted to get back to work. And I wanted them to have their place and their position back and to be part of the community. And that was the most important part for me. It was more than just me getting back to work. It was everyone to have their lives back, because it got so far from that. And unfortunately, still a lot of restaurants had never even opened back up. They didn't have the energy, the resources, or the time, and it just fizzled away. And I wanted to make sure we were all back open and everyone had their job and everyone had the pride that they had prior to the pandemic. That's my big takeaway from it.
Well, I congratulate you on the thoughtful way with which that was done. And of course, it's so wonderful to have these spectacular restaurants still with us, doing as well as ever. And of course, you have underneath you a whole small army of amazing chefs and other workers, and among them, Connor McNeil, executive chef at Joey Girard's, who will be the special guest chef for this upcoming Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival on August 17th in Celebration Place. Terry Jacobson, just quickly remind everybody about exactly where they go and when in order to see Connor McNeil at work.
All right. Well, it's going to be August 17th. It's a Saturday, down on Kenosha's lakefront, which is directly east of the museum complexes in Kenosha. That's where Celebration Place is. And you're going to come right in those gates at noon. And then at 12:45, you're going to go to your left. And that's where the cooking studio tent is going to be. And we look forward to seeing you all there to not only enjoy some great food with these great chefs we've been talking to today, but also to listen to some great music.
And of course, all of this supports the Mahone Fund and Tim Mahone. This must be so gratifying to you to see all of this excitement in this circle of guests.
It's always exciting to hear Aaron speak so eloquently about the Bartolotta tradition, which is why we're so proud to be a part of it. And I neglected to welcome Connor to the family. So we're glad to have you, Connor. Thank you for lending your expertise so that you can share that delight with the audience that's going to be there and kick them off and fill their tummies a little bit, just a little bit. I just can't wait to taste that pork chop. Pork chop.
Tim Mahone, Terry Jacobson, Connor McNeil, and Aaron Bickham, thank you all for being part of the morning show today here on WGTD.
Thank you very much.
17.
Tomorrow on the morning show, I speak with Thomas Fuller, the author of a book called The Boys from Riverside, the story of a high school football team
comprised entirely of deaf players and deaf coaches. That's tomorrow on The Morning Show. And by the way, on Saturday's podcast version of The Morning Show, from the archives, a conversation from a number of years ago with John Delagrave. Cloudy skies today and intermittent showers and thunderstorms through much of the heart of the day. Some of that rainfall could be heavy. Today's high 76 degrees. No swimming allowed in Lake Michigan today because of the stormy conditions. Cloudy overnight, a 50% chance of more rain, low of 68, and a 40% chance of rain tomorrow with a high of 83 degrees. Also a lingering chance of rain on Saturday. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.